Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM. Listen now on ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
It is Waddle and Sylvie. It's an abbreviated show because of White Sox baseball. Sorry to all of you White Sox fans that you got taken to the woodshed by the Cincinnati Reds. But it's only spring training. A few more of these before the real games start. I can see Peggy on my computer. Peggy!
Tommy.
Peggy's in for Sylvie.
Tommy boy.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm working through the 35 or 40 degree weather. It looks like you may be in a sunnier and a warmer climate.
Possibly, yes. Yeah. It's about, well, you guys don't really care.
I do.
Yes.
I care, totally.
All right.
Unless you
want to
break down the Sox and Reds game. You want to break down the Reds and Sox?
No.
No, okay.
I'm not in baseball mode. Isn't that weird? It's hard to get, it's... I need opening day.
Well, it was opening day for the Dodgers and the Padres today.
Oh, that's crazy.
It is. Tyler and I were having this conversation.
I need April 1st. I need, you know, early April. Then I get in baseball mode.
Meller, you're the resident baseball expert. Explain to me why Major League Baseball decided to open up regular season play today in the manner in which they did with the Padres in the Dodgers.
In Seoul?
In Seoul.
So you guys, I assume you both woke up at 5 a.m. to watch, right, live?
I woke up at 5 a.m. to use the facility. That's what I normally
do at my age.
But it wasn't
toss on ESPN baseball. And watch baseball get started in Seoul.
No.
This is, I think, baseball's way of trying to monetize multiple opening days. Because it was so early in the morning here in, you know, local time, 5 o'clock Central Time, 3 o'clock if you were a fan of either the Dodgers or...
How are you monetizing that, Mellor?
Well, no, they're monetizing it because they have multiple opening days. They have, this is their way of kind of like having their cake and eating it too, right? Because now if you're a huge baseball fan or a nerd like me, you, watched it early.
This morning.
Well, I DVR'd it. And then when I had a chance, I avoided any scoreboards, and then I actually did watch it this morning around 9 a.m. I threw it on and zipped through the commercials and watched the entire game.
Are they also trying to grow the game in areas where the game is probably already pretty popular? Like, I understand why the NFL wants to go to Europe and grow their product. And they're going to play a game this year, right? Open up the season in Brazil, right? Isn't that what the plan is?
The Friday night or right after the Thursday night opener. Domestically, they're going to have the Friday night game in Brazil with the Eagles playing. Yes.
But this doesn't feel like that. I don't know. I'm just, and there's 161 left for both of these teams. So I don't know how jacked everyone was to get up at 5 o'clock local time.
Well,
to watch a little Dodger and Padre baseball.
I was probably in the minority. I don't think Peggy was a part of that group, but what's crazy.
Peggy
is,
was just getting in from a nice,
yeah, right?
You know,
not
dinner
true.
And, oh, no,
not true.
Not true.
I was up this morning at 5:30 Eastern time.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I am not asleep.
You're just
I don't
so
sleep
excited
yet.
You couldn't sleep. You had to. You couldn't
could
wait
not
for
wait
the Dodgers.
For baseball.
Yeah.
That's right. Could not
now,
wait
you,
for.
What you couldn't wait for, Peg, was to get set for Caleb Williams' pro day out in California.
And yeah. That was actually. You know, just to light the fire under all of the JF1 lovers, everything that you read about his pro day was good.
Yeah.
Everything. There was not a single bad thing written so far. So all the haters are going to come out and say that the Bears stink and the Bears don't know what they're doing and they're going to get fleeced, you know, by Caleb Williams and the number one overall draft pick is never as good as, you know, they're projected to be, and that's all fine and good, but I have never seen anything like what we are seeing with Caleb Williams right now. I mean, Tom, this is unbelievable how much,
yeah,
not just Chicago Bears fans, everyone in the NFL is following his every move, and I'm not so sure. I don't know. Can this kid handle this?
Don't know. I mean, we're going to find out. And I think the football talent is there. I think that, you know, I think there's a lot of questions about, you know, can he play in structure a little bit better than he did at USC, where he played a lot of hero ball this year. And I think that was a product of the situation that he found himself in. Look, I heard you say the phrase, Bears stink. And I know in the context you were saying that the Justin Fields fans are saying, well, the Bears stink, they're going to run. You could not have said a more correct statement, Peg, because you know as well as I do that this team has stunk when compared against the upper echelon teams in the National Football League for a very long time. They haven't won a playoff game since the 2010 regular season. They have not had consecutive winning seasons since the 2005-2006 season. What about what has been transpiring with our favorite football team wants you to remain status quo? You know what I'm saying? Like, it hasn't worked. And finally, I think that this new administration has done some really good things to improve the infrastructure. Is Caleb Williams, if they draft him first overall, going to take them to the promised land? I don't know. But what I do know is the infrastructure for him is significantly better when he takes over than it was for Justin Fields and many guys before him. But for those out there that want to continue to languish in this era of mediocrity, I just choose to do it differently. I'm not guaranteeing you that they're going to win a full, you know, to go on a Super Bowl run. But what they've been doing recently at a lot of positions, including the quarterback position, hasn't been good enough. So I'm totally cool with what they're doing.
Now, speaking about hasn't been good enough, I was looking at the list of free agents that played for the Bears last year and how few of them have signed with the team so far. Besides Darnell Mooney and who was the other one? Was it Dan Feeney or someone? I mean, that was it. The guys that signed, Yannick Ngakoue is still out there. So many of these guys. So it makes me a little like, if Lucas Patrick, Cody Whitehair, Eddie Jackson, Rasheem Green, Robert Tonyan, and all these former Bears are not signed yet, what does it say? Does it say that Ryan Poles has not a great eye for talent? Or is it a matter of he did what was available to him with an eye on season three to spend the money and go bigger? And the rest of the NFL looks at the Bears as not being very good. So, I mean, I don't know. Justin Jones and Nathan Peterman signed and Dan Feeney signed, Darnell Mooney. And that's it from that roster last year. And there's like 12 other guys that haven't signed.
I worry.
That's what I think that people are looking at is Ryan Poles. And They're not convinced. He can sign talent, but can he identify talent?
Well, he's in the process of defining himself, for sure. And I don't think anybody would sit here and emphatically tell you that everything has been a hit. I'll play devil's advocate, but I'll give you glass half full. The glass half full approach to that, and it's a really good question, is, well, he's acknowledged and has identified the areas where he knows he can upgrade different positions, and he's gone ahead and done it. Instead of keeping guys and thinking they're going to get better, he has decided that to move on from Eddie Jackson. He had a nice stay here in Chicago, did some really good things. It was time to move on. Cody Whitehair, for financial reasons, and Cody did a lot of great things in a Bears uniform as well. Lucas Patrick, it was time to move on from him. So I think it's a really good question, Peg, but I think you could look at it from the other perspective and say, hey, instead of sticking with some of the guys that he brought in, not all of them, Cody Whitehair and Eddie Jackson weren't his guys, but some of the other guys that maybe he brought in and moved on from quickly, maybe it's a sign that he has identified the weak links of this roster and he's trying to strengthen those different spots. Again, I think we can. Time will tell. I mean, time is certainly going to tell. I like the trade for Keenan Allen, a fourth-round pick for a guy who's going to be 32. I get it. I understand the concerns, but I think that trade is made with the intention of signing him to like a two-year extension, which will lessen the salary cap hit this year, and you get a couple of good years from a true pro who's an outstanding player and will provide a lot for a young quarterback. I like Gerald Everett, the tight end that they brought in to give you some depth there. So there have been some things that they have done, I think, again, as I said earlier, to improve the infrastructure for a young quarterback. But Look, again.
How about Keenan Allen in attendance for the pro day today?
Yeah.
That was a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I think that was great. I think there's some excitement, and there should be some excitement, and there's no guarantees. But, again, like I'm tired of languishing in this you know, this existence of mediocrity, and I think that they've had an opportunity now to build their roster. They've had some good fortune with regard to their draft status. And at this point, after bolstering their roster by trading the first overall pick last year, they've decided that there's a quarterback that's out there that will give them a better chance to get to where they're going. And he's going to make that decision and move forward. So I think that these are exciting times. I think that, you know, there are some people that were huge Justin Fields fans, Peg, that are upset. And I get it. I'm not telling you not to be a fan, but you know, as I've also repeated a million times, at the end of the day, we all want this team to compete for Super Bowls. How they get there, we can disagree on, but I would hope at the end of the day, you're still a Bears fan, even if the general manager of the team made a decision that you didn't like personally. So
when it comes to Caleb Williams today, and you read everything about his workout today, you know, I mean, the workouts are, it's scripted. He's been working out, getting ready for this day. He didn't do the combine, so he knew exactly everything he was going to do. And yet, it's also about the way you carry yourself. Yeah. How did he walk in? He walked in pretty confidently, pretty calm. That's when he saw, you know, Keenan Allen off to the side. Turns out they're buddies. They've hung out a couple of times since Keenan's been playing in L.A. Ryan Poles walks over, talks to Carl Williams. You know, Caleb's
the real
very
Carl
calm
Williams,
and collected.
Not someone that isn't Carl Williams that Sylvie identified as Carl Williams. Ryan Poles actually spoke to the real Carl Williams. Did you hear that story, Peg, when we were in the combine?
No, was that at the combine?
Yeah. Sylvie, we kind of walked past Caleb Williams, and it was a group of people, and TJ Houshmandzadeh was there. There was another, you know, younger person, and there was a man and a woman, and they were all interacting with Caleb Williams, and we were walking by. And, you know, Sylvie, this was so typical Waddle and Sylvie. And we told this story a bunch when it happened, and then afterwards. So Sylvie goes immediately into journalism mode, okay? I just had my fourth coffee of the day, and I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. So he's like, should we go up and talk to him? Should we go up? Let's wait here and, you know, let's try. So I said, first of all, I'm not going to go over there and talk to him anyway because TJ Houshmandzadeh is over there. And he embarrassed me on a radio interview.
I remember.
10 years ago. Yeah, and I'm still going to hold that grudge against him.
Have you ever played the game? Yeah.
But I was like, okay, I'll sit here for a while. And after like 5 minutes, Peg, I was like, I'm not going to stand here any longer. I have to go to the bathroom. So typical fashion, I leave and go to the bathroom, and then Sylvie initiates a conversation first with the guy that he thought was Caleb's dad, Carl.
Oh, no.
Exchanges pleasantries, says, you know, whatever it was, and the guy goes, that's all great, but I'm not Carl.
Oh, so, gosh, no.
Yeah, so it was...
Did he just draw an assumption?
Well, I mean, he was the mm-hmm. man was in full mm-hmm. USC garb, and he looked as if he was Caleb's age. His dad would perceive to be Caleb's dad's age. So I could understand why he made the mistake. It was very friendly. It wasn't like a business exchange. It was like a very friendly conversation that was going on. So I could understand why that Sylvie came to that conclusion. But the best part of it was that was the exchange. Caleb Williams was the one that basically reached his hand out and said, hi, I'm Caleb. And he kind of eased the situation, which showed a lot of maturity. I mean, it was really, but that when you said that Ryan Poles, make a long story short, when you said Ryan Poles was talking with Carl Williams, it was the real Carl Williams, not the person that Sylvie had assumed in Indianapolis was Carl Williams. So
well, and this is one of the things that I find fascinating about the pro days is that they will look at everything. So it was, let's see, Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, Shane Waldron, and who's the quarterback coach, the new quarterback coach?
Joseph? Is it Joseph? No. I'm not in my new coach.
Okay.
You know, bunkers.
I know. I'm not in Bears mode yet.
Yeah, Kerry Joseph.
Like that.
Kerry Joseph. I got
Kerry
it.
Joseph.
Look at
there
that.
You go. I got
it.
The first name. You got the last name.
Yes.
So they watch everything. They, you know, this is why last year they talked a lot about the Eagles when they took the defensive tackle. Again, here we go.
Jalen Carter.
Thank you, Jalen Carter. And, you know, how he couldn't finish the drills and he was, you know, hyperventilating and he had to bend down. He was cramping up. And so it's not as much about, you know, what he's running everything in. How many times did he hit Jerry Rice's kid on deep routes? You know, does he look sharp? Is he getting the ball out quickly? It's also a lot of how does he interact with the guys on the field? How does he interact with his receivers? How does he interact with as he's walking to the field? I mean, they are watching everything. They want to see everything. And I found it interesting when he saw Keenan Allen, at first he kind of, you know, was just like acknowledging and kind of kept walking. And then I think he almost realized because Keenan Allen had a hood on and, you know, he was kind of, you know, incognito. And
it was a Bears sweatshirt. He had a Bears sweatshirt on.
Yeah, it was Bears, all in Bears garb.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. I would have liked to see more of, you know, through the eyes of like a Matt Eberflus. Although if you see some of the angles with Matt Eberflus right behind Caleb Williams while
lovingly,
he's taking the snap,
lovingly.
He's just beaming.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't you? You get the first pick of the draft. You got a new look. Oh. You got some facial hair. You got some nice new sneakers on. You're looking good. You're feeling good. Sylvie thinks maybe he got, you know, the silent contract extension, the secret contract extension.
Yeah.
Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But life is good for Matt Eberflus right now.
Oh, absolutely. Like, he had every reason last year outside of, you know, the opening couple of games where it looked like he was in trouble. He turned things around last year. He not that he would point the finger, but it was a lot easier to point the finger at the offense, a lot easier to point the finger at the coordinator, and a lot easier to point the finger at the quarterback he had. So now he's going to have all of that.
Yeah.
And now is almost like a do-over now for Eberflus.
Yeah, I mean, to get to your point too about the, you know, what the pro day is all about. Like, I don't overvalue them because it is such a controlled environment.
Yeah.
But I read Biggs's article before we came on, Brad Biggs, and he talked about that the Bears have spent almost 3 days with him now, including going to dinner and being out with him and his teammates to see how he interacts with his teammates. They did, you know, the work on the whiteboard. They did a lot of stuff in film session. So I think that this is more like they know he can sling it. Like, they know that he's got a quick release and a strong arm and he's athletic and he's, you know, he's got a great personality and he's, you know, he's very gregarious. They want to know, you know, kind of like who he is outside of all of that other stuff. And
yeah.
I think that they, if you know, you believe what you read and you kind of try to follow the breadcrumbs, it sounds like they're pretty convinced that it's all good. And I would be, at this point, I would be shocked if he wasn't their selection at one when the draft arrives.
Oh, I mean, something catastrophic has to happen between now and the draft. Something catastrophic has to happen that would have fleeced them into the character of Caleb Williams. So I don't think anything else, you know, not the agent representation, not the father really being, you know, in control of Caleb's professional career when it came to NIL and everything else. I don't think any of that comes into play. They have 3 years.
Yeah.
They have 3 years to see what can happen with Caleb Williams at quarterback before all of those other things will take place.
Yeah, I will say this, though. I think that the expectation level will be significantly higher for him sooner than it was for Justin and Mitch and others before him because of what I mentioned earlier, that the infrastructure is there. They weren't the worst team in the NFL drafting first overall. There are expectations, and there are expectations of him, and there have been people that have called him a generational talent. Again, if he struggles at times, I'm not going to be surprised. But I think everyone believes that this is a team that should go out and build off of the 7-win season they had last year. And despite the fact that he's a rookie and there will be roller coaster moments, You draft a guy first overall, you surround him with talent and a good infrastructure, and if that guy is a good football player, you should see some really good things. So I think there's some expectations. They're going to win 9 or 10 games. Whoa, that's an expectation right there, too, that we've got teams to give away. You know what we call this little thing, don't you, Peg? It's 64 teams won Chalice. We had to change the name for reasons of...
Yes.
Vatica. Yes.
Yeah,
right.
Stop it,
Mark. You don't want to get a FedEx envelope in your locker.
Exactly. First 10 callers, 312-332-3776. You've heard the sounder. You're going to get a team. If your team wins it all, guess what? You're going to win a gift card to Lou Malnati's, courtesy of Cap's wife, Mindy, who definitely is the engine that makes that machine roar over there in Riverwoods. But thank you to her. You're also going to win an Ayo Dosunmu signed basketball and a Sister Jean bobblehead. So we broke out all the great stuff. If your team wins, that's what you're going to receive. Peg, when we come back, we're going to do a little something we like to call Aki's A-List, and he's going to throw some questions at us. Some may be football related. The A-List, exactly.
The A-List.
The Aki's A-List. We're going to do some of that, and then I believe we're going to cross-talk with Bleck and Abdallah at 6:15. So we got a little bit more to do before we get out of here. Peg's in for Sylvie. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
It's time for Aki's A-List, from the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's world, Aki's A-List. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
All right, let's get right to this. Peg's in for Sylvie. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. We usually jack around as soon as we hear that sound. And then we don't get to Aki's A-List, so we're going to get right to Aki's A-List.
What's up? All right, so we've got...
I can see you on my computer.
I can see you on my computer, too.
When did we become so tech-savvy as a crew?
I think we just kind of got to the standard, the industry standard.
By the way, I cut the cord, Peg. Now I'm all like... I'm on Hulu Live. Like, I don't even have cable boxes anymore.
You finally did it.
I did the deed.
It's great, but then you don't realize all the subscriptions you have.
Now, my wife and I, because we're old, we do sit and yell at the TV still because it does take some time. We're used to just talking into a clicker and saying, play the Curse of Oak Island, and boom, it's right there. But so we have to be a little patient. All right, I'm sorry, Tyler. I said we were going to get right to you, and then I interrupted you.
All good. All right, so earlier today, Caleb Williams was on The Herd with Colin Cowherd, and he had this to say about potentially joining the Chicago Bears.
I think he's going to another big city. I've heard that they love football, so if that's the place, I'm excited for that. The fans love football. It's one of the biggest things that I care about is a place that cares. And so, if that was the place, I'd be excited and get ready to go win games is what I'm excited for. Most importantly, I'm caring about football, whether it's the fans, the organization, my teammates, myself. Caring about ball games and winning ball games is the most important thing.
So that's Caleb Williams talking about potentially joining the Chicago Bears. I'm sure some people out there maybe are still a little skeptical about whether or not he will be a good fit with the Bears and what he will bring to the locker room dynamic and all of that. But from what I can tell, it seems like this guy is all about winning. And that's pretty much the only thing that's on his mind when it comes to football.
Peg, your character assessment.
Yeah, he's saying all the right things. He's very mature. He doesn't have many missteps. You know, we didn't hear a lot from him because he wasn't really that available after USC games and throughout the season. So what we're seeing now, I think, is surprising some people because you've heard negative things. And now we're seeing what appears to be a very mature young man who is saying all the right things. Now, let's see when the fire gets hot. That's really what we're going to see. And you're walking into a veteran locker room with some guys, not a lot, who are going to be making more money than you because he's got so much money in sponsorships already.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different dynamic. I mean, that's what changes, I think, the landscape is that someone like him is coming in. And what did he make last year, Tyler? $10 million in NIL money?
That's the reported number.
So, I mean, like, it's just a different atmosphere. Look, I don't have any concerns. I said this at the Combine, and everyone was like, wow, everything he says is great. I'm not over the top, like, enthused by what I hear. That's great. I would have a more visceral reaction if he presented himself poorly than I would have this over the top, well, this is fantastic reaction, hearing him say everything. I have two concerns about him. And really, my concerns aren't about how he's going to handle all the other stuff, because we'll figure that out. My first concern was, he tall enough? And his second concern for me was, can he play in structure? Because you can't play that air raid offense in the NFL. Yeah. I don't think you can. I think, you know, they're just, your defensive groups are too big, too fast, too strong, too athletic. Can he play in structure? I think the answer to both of those questions is, I'm going to be fine with it. I stood next to him. He measured at 6'1", or a little bit over 6'1", at the Combine. I saw someone report today on that hideous venue of Twitter that he was a little under 6'1". He looks fine to me size-wise. And I do expect that. I've seen him play on time going back to 2022 in a different situation. So right now, I like what I see. But I'm not going to sit here and guarantee anything because, you know, he's never played against an NFL defense. So, but so far,
exactly,
so good.
Right. That's exactly right.
Speaking of playing on time, he talked a little bit with Colin Cowherd as well about what his preferred play style is.
He freelances a bit. What would you say to somebody? Is it a fair criticism, or was it more offensive line erosion?
I can do both.
What's your favorite style to play? If I said you had a 12-play drive to win a game, what is your favorite style?
Yeah,
what do you?
I don't like running. How about? I don't like running unless I have to.
That's fair. You don't like running.
Yeah. I do not like running. It may look like it, but I don't like running. I like throwing the ball to my receivers, letting all of us have fun. It's a lot more fun to be able to throw a 20-yard dagger route to my ex-receiver and let them eat up down the middle of the field.
I think something, when you look at 2023 Caleb Williams, it looks a lot more of the out of structure stuff. But when you watch a lot of 2022 Caleb Williams, it's a lot of stuff that comes from within the pocket. And I think he pretty much said right there that 2022 is more of the play style that he would prefer to play with.
Well, I would say this too, Peg. Like, he had every opportunity to say to you, well, I was running for my life last year because we really had some protection issues, and he didn't. So, again, I'm not going to overplay that, but I'm going to notice it. I guess I'll just put that in the memory bank.
He showed you there, too. He's already a professional because Colin kind of teed him up saying the words, was it offensive line erosion?
Right.
And he nimbly, like he does when he's getting pressure inside the pocket, he sidestepped that like a pro.
Yes. Yeah, and that's why I mentioned, Jeff. This is the first thing that I really thought of when I heard him say that. And again, these are all things that are important, but I'm not going to go outside and do a happy dance. I would go outside and start kicking and screaming if I heard the opposite, if you know what I'm saying. So, I think he says the right stuff. That's what I want to hear him say as well when it comes to schematically, you know, talking about the game, because you're not going to be able to run around And that's not the only. Listen, we went through that. We had a guy here for 3 years who was as good, off schedule as anyone in the league at times. But you have to be able to do both. So I would rather a player be really good on schedule and be a lesser player off schedule than vice versa. And I think he's got the capacity to do both. So.
You know, he didn't even bite on the offensive line.
Yeah.
He could have, like you said, he didn't even bite on it. He completely disregarded that part of the question, which I think is a nod that he is going to be a locker room guy. I think if there's concern that he's coming in as, world famous football star coming out of, Hollywood, then I don't know. I mean, it seems that he knows what he's walking into. He knew what he came out of. He knew where their deficiencies were, and he didn't bite. So nope. I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. There was an article today in ESPN that was talking about the most questionable signings of the offseason, and both Jordan Reed and Jeremy Fowler gave their most questionable signing of the offseason to Kevin Byard and the Bears on a 2-year, $15 million contract. Do you agree?
No, I wouldn't agree there. Look,
is he even the most questionable signing of the offseason for the Bears themselves?
Tyler, I was just going to say, I still look at some of the other things. It wasn't a signing, but the trade, I mean, for Ryan Bates is one that I still kind of look at sideways. And again, I don't know what their intention are. My guess is that they've got him slotted as their starting center. But Kevin Byard did not play great when he went to Philadelphia last year. Tell me somebody on that Philly defense that did play well.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a good situation. I will say this. He's a little older player. He's got a great resume. There was a kid who was the kid Xavier McKinney from the Giants who was signed with Green Bay that is younger. And I think many people thought maybe, had a little bit higher ceiling because of his age. But no, that one surprises me because he's cheaper than Eddie Jackson, right? More accomplished than Eddie Jackson, and is joining a secondary that's got a lot of good young players and could use somebody like Kevin Byard, who is not only a good, solid player, albeit, at 30, but he's also a guy who's a tremendous leader with a lot of skins on the wall.
Yeah, I'm not sure that, what is it, 2-year, $15 million for Byard? I don't think that constitutes craziness.
I don't
know. That is a luxury for the Bears to be able to do that because they had the money available. To call that the worst free agent signing, I don't know about that. I don't feel that at all.
What would you say, Peg, was the one move that they made? Maybe not free agent signing, but it could have been a trade as well that you looked at and causes you more, questions, or you question more than any of them.
I think it's the lack of a pass rusher.
Okay.
I think that they are loading up so much on offense that it almost leads me to believe that they could go wide receiver again and keep the 9th overall pick. And they could bring in a young guy who is going to learn from a Keenan Allen and a DJ Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how long Keenan Allen's going to be there. So, get as much out of him as you can to teach these young guys. It feels like they have really gone heavy offense. And this town is just dying for another pass rusher. Everyone wants that defense to be even greater. And they looked really good last year, a top 10 defense. But man, I just keep scratching my head, and I would love to know what the Danielle Hunter, that whole negotiation was. I would love to hear that because that's where I scratch my head. Listen, there's a lot of crazy money that's going out in the NFL. All the running backs. I mean, Tyler, let's look at all the running backs. We could pull any of those out and say there's some crazy money that went out this year to running backs. So to say for Byard, I don't know.
Yeah.
I wish the Bears had done more on defense, but I wouldn't say that was crazy money.
All right, this story came in a little over an hour ago about Shohei Ohtani, who his Dodgers, by the way, won earlier today for the MLB opener, but Shohei Ohtani's interpreter has been fired amid allegations of massive theft And there's questions surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Otani's bank account
That's couch change for Otani. I mean, like $4.5 million. What? Somebody? I mean, get $4.5 million missing? I would have no idea.
But it isn't because all of his contract money has been deferred.
And so his bank account, it was all sent from his bank account to a bookmaking operation. Which has all of a sudden made this very, very interesting. Now, it is said in this article on ESPN that none of it is on baseball. A lot of it is on soccer. But this is a new story now with Shohei Ohtani as the MLB season is officially underway.
The oddity to this as well is that initially ESPN was getting set to file a report where the interpreter of Shohei Ohtani laid out this elaborate story about how he told Shohei Ohtani that he lost $4.5 million or was he owed $4.5 million of markers to this illegal gambling bookmaking site. And after telling ESPN that Shohei Ohtani agreed to cover this money for him, then afterwards the spokesperson came out and said, oh, no, that's not exactly what happened. And then Ohtani's legal team then issued a statement saying that there was massive theft. So it is only the initial stages of this story.
Wow. And here's the thing. And there's going to be a lot lost in interpretation, so to speak.
Literally.
Unintended.
Yeah.
But
they need an interpreter for the interpreter.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there really will be because, I mean, this is a stretch, and I know, and don't everyone drive off the road when I say this, but it's a lot like Sammy Sosa suddenly not understanding English and not being able to speak English, you know? I think that there's going to be this could actually get even bigger. This could get really big.
I'm with you, Mellor, though. I think the change in approach is, I think, his people's way of protecting him. It sounds like he didn't have anything, did nothing wrong, and they just want to separate him from the situation completely.
Yeah, if you believe the interpreter's initial story,
right.
Shohei Ohtani, who actually was very close to the interpreter, and you can probably understand that because they spent a lot of time with each other throughout his career. And, of course, there's also reports that the interpreter's wife has a close relationship with Shohei Ohtani's new wife. And so you can understand, or at least I guess it doesn't seem incomprehensible that Shohei would agree to cover the gambling losses. But then all of a sudden people who have his best interest in mind might say, look, Shohei, I know you're close with this guy, but the reality is it doesn't look good for you to go ahead and wire transfer $4.5 million to cover his gambling losses.
It's crazy.
Illegal gambling losses, by the way, because in California, it's not legal to bet.
Wow. It's crazy.
Nice to have rich friends.
Yeah. Crazy story. Hey, Shohei, any chance you can cover my $4.5 million gambling debt? Sure. I'll write you a check. No, wait. No. There can't be any trail for that. That's crazy. Just what the Dodgers needed, right? This won't even be a story, and the interpreter will be, you know,
yep.
He'll be pushed aside, and
oh yeah,
yeah, the machine will continue to roll on for sure.
If you can translate Japanese and you want to work for the Dodgers, there may be a job opening.
And I got a serious gambling problem when it comes to soccer matches, so I mean maybe I fit the listing.
All right, before we get to crosstalk with Bleck and Abdallah, let's give away a few more teams. The last batch of teams here.
How many we got left?
Seven more.
Is there any good teams left in the hopper?
There's still a one seed, I believe. I think we may have two one seeds still.
Really?
Looking through here, I think we still have... which one seed? UConn is gone. Purdue is gone. I think North Carolina's still around.
Okay, well, we got seven teams left. 312-332-3776. If your team wins the entire tournament again, you're going to win a gift card to Lou Malnati's, an Io DeSumo signed basketball, and, of course, a Sister Jean bobblehead. So big prizes coming from the Waddle and Sylvie 64 Team 1 container challenge here. Peg's in for Sylvie. This has been a really long show. I'm exhausted. So we're going to wrap this thing up with Bleck and Abdallah when we come back.
Ah, commuting in Chicago. If you're stuck, stick with Waddle and Sylvie. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Let's wrap up this marathon show. Peggy's in for Sylvie. I think she's probably just as exhausted as I am after.
I need a break.
We took over after the Reds put it on the White Sox today. I don't even know what the final score was. I'm hearing with Bleck and Abdallah now in, and I believe this crosstalk is brought to you by Steinhoffels. I just did that off the top of my brain.
Go get a couch.
Boom.
Like, I didn't even, sent me an email. Nobody sent me I just did this. I was reading Twitter. And I guess I was reading Shea, and he wasn't firing anyone into the sun.
You were reading me as Shea.
Okay, whatever it was.
Because Shea forgot to log out of his Twitter account on the computer that I'm using.
Okay, but tonight's a big night, right?
Big
because
night.
Your
Huge
bracket.
Big night.
Huge
your
night.
Bracket, which is usually authored or is always authored by Tyler Aki, is revealed tonight, right?
And I believe he's won either the last two or two out of the last three.
What is it, Tyler?
Is it two out of the last three?
Two of the last three, yes. Yeah.
Two out of the last three.
Yeah, in the office pool. So what happens is Tyler comes on the program. He gives us the full bracket. We fill it out. He takes that bracket. He slaps it on the fridge. And boom, there's the cheat code.
Problem is, there's already two brackets on the fridge.
Right. Someone already tried
Shea
to outdo him.
And Justin Ponger.
Trying to steal the bit.
Yeah, they think that they have the real estate.
Cool.
I said they can put it on the fridge, but they have to do it on the fridge part. Tyler gets the prime real estate on the freezer.
Why were they stealing Tyler's shine? That's Tyler's thing. It's not their thing.
Well, I host a show with them.
That's my Shea.
That's fine, but it's still not his thing. It's
I don't know
Tyler's
why Shea would run and slap his right on the fridge. It's a Tyler Aki deal.
And he also taped his bracket.
Slap his pecs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Slap right up there. Surprising he can reach so high.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. So this is a big moment, though,
it's
right?
It's a big deal.
You guys take this seriously.
Yeah, 6:35, Tyler will be in studio with us. Mm-hmm. He will reveal his bracket. So if you're looking for help, 6:35, 10 minutes from right now, Tyler will help us.
By the way, Adam, what was the song of the night last night?
It was 5 Seconds of Summer.
Terrible.
Called She's Kinda Hot. What? And it is... So when Chris is gone, I get pretty weird with the song of the night sometimes. That pick by Yurko, hands down, has to be the worst song of the night we've ever had.
I've never heard of it.
I know 5 Seconds of Summer. I'm aware of the band, and I've heard some of their songs. I've never heard that song.
Was Yurko just trying to be
He said his daughter turned him on to them. Because he drives around with his daughter sometimes, and she was listening to them.
It's a song she likes.
Yeah, and so he picked it and said it's kind of grown on him.
All right.
Is that okay?
Have you done a well-being check on him today?
No, I don't bother
him. He's
an
adult.
He's on vacation.
Fine.
Yeah, I'm not bothering him.
It's a friend thing to do. It's not, supervision.
Is it?
No
one checked on me when I went on vacation. There was no check-in.
Wow, Adam, you did.
There's no check-in. Hey, are you good today? You know why? Because they know I'm good.
Yeah, because he was
busy. Vacation.
He was busy texting us.
Okay,
margaritas.
He's in Mexico.
I'm good.
He's in Mexico, getting ready to go to dinner. He's listening to the show. He's in the Twitch chat talking to people.
Yeah,
I'm like,
trying to give opinions.
Go on vacation.
What?
Sometimes you got to check in. Hear what's going on.
Not on vacation.
I'm sorry, Tom. I like listening to our radio station
when you're on vacation.
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. When I'm sitting out at the pool, what do you think I'm just sitting there listening to nothing?
Maybe talking to your wife?
Well, we did that. You talk. You talk to a lot of people.
Sometimes, if I sat at the pool and listened to the radio station as my wife and I were sitting there, she would be like, you hear these guys and talk to them every single day. We're here on vacation. This is our time. And why am I sharing our time with these guys?
You think she wants to talk to me for 8 hours at the pool?
I just made that up, Chris.
Yeah.
Because then my wife does. My wife is playing tennis with a group that she doesn't even know.
She's got her headphones in. Yeah. She's listening to whatever she's listening to. And I have ESPN 1000 on the ESPN Chicago app. Wherever you are in the world.
Look at him.
All right, let me put you on the spot. If you were only able, if your wife said to you...
Mm-hmm.
Just one show. Just pick one show. I don't want you to, listening to work all day long. What's the one show you're going to listen to?
Oh, that's easy. It's the Black and Abdallah show, yeah, and this is why.
His own
this
show.
Is why. Based on the, nope. the time difference and nope. getting ready for the evening,
nope.
that's the show you can listen to while she's getting ready.
That's what he says.
And you go to get cocktails but before you go to dinner.
It's to make sure that I'm not doing anything
no, sure,
to get us kicked off
this
the,
is why.
The lineup.
Peggy no. And Waddle, you guys know how this goes. When you're on vacation, you and your spouse, you have to take shifts in getting ready. And
shifts,
as yeah. as a guy, I know to get my butt out of the way. You know, there's limited space in the bathroom. I got to get out of the way. So I go up early, I shower, I get out of the way, and then I've got time to wait until she's ready to go where we can go wherever we're going to go for dinner.
We listen to Chauncey just in case we find ourselves.
Well,
in
I'm
a,
not
in
up
a,
that early. I'm vacation.
And then Tom Morgan in case we run across some fabulous memorabilia.
All right, Chris, when you're on vacation, first of all, showers are optional. So
no, that's, absolutely not. Are
no
you kidding
way.
Me?
Come on.
Yes.
No, you're,
yes.
in, the pool. You're in the beach. You're on the pool.
You, go you do got a nice shower. Dinner, you got
yeah.
a shower.
No sandy crack for me. No chance. I'm going to take a shower
crack.
As soon as I
sandy
get
crack.
Off the
Does
beach.
She go with
I
you
might
on
take
vacation?
Two showers a day when I'm on vacation.
Peggy, optional. Showers yeah. optional on vacation. What?
Yeah, like quite
this
often.
This is in gremlin
are.
Mode when you're at home. What are we doing?
Listen, if you're out partying all day and maybe you're doing some day drinking and then you have dinner at night, you don't want to waste any time.
One of my favorite things to do on
yeah,
vacation.
Drink in the shower.
Yeah, you take the half-drunk yeah. shower. The half-drunk
yeah,
shower on vacation
here.
Is great.
I got to wash the scotch off my belly before we go to dinner.
Hey, Sandy Waddle, before we go, I got a quick question for you. Yeah. Will you text Pete Rose and ask him what he thinks of the Shohei Ohtani thing?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I won't.
Come on, text him. Be like,
text
hey, so
him.
What's going to no. happen?
What's going to happen
text,
with Shohei?
I text Pete every year for his birthday. Happy birthday, Pete.
Well, I mean, listen, maybe check in on a friend.
Has he ever responded?
Every time, Chris.
Oh, he
so
does?
Just ask him about
oh,
what he thinks
great.
Of Ohtani.
Chris,
well, yeah.
he sends me, Chris, he sends me emojis of him.
That's great.
Happy
That's...
birthday. Thanks, Tom. And he's like, your peace sign. And it's Pete, an emoji of Pete with the white hat.
That's
of
great.
Course it is.
Of course it is.
I just
Why
want his thoughts.
Surprise?
Ask him if Ohtani's going to be banned
Would
from
you
baseball.
Guys stop it.
I just
what
want his
stop
thoughts.
It? It's no, kind of weird that they changed their story, Tom. It's
I'm
a little
saying.
Weird. ESPN's investigating. There's an investigation.
Ohtani,
they changed their story.
Trying to do something to
yeah,
take
sure.
care of health.
What did you say upstairs? It'll be funny when
yeah,
Ohtani has
funny.
To go play basketball for a
yeah,
year.
He'll be in the G League for a year because you know how it handled with Jordan.
Okay, big bracket
Allegedly.
Reveal coming up, right? Big bracket reveal?
Yeah.
Tyler Aki's okay. bracket. One bracket to rule them all.
And I'm lighting the other
coming
brackets
up.
On fire from upstairs.
Unbelievable.
Awesome. Burning the boats.
Peg, this was exciting, and this was physically taxing.
I know.
So,
you need a break. You
but it's break. always great to share the air with you. So thank you for sitting in for Sylvie. Enjoy your time wherever you are. I will not let everybody know where you are, but Black and Abdallah are
shower
up next.
Before dinner, Peggy.
I'm going
Sandy
to dinner
crack.
Right now. There was no shower. Sorry.
Bracket
I was at
reveal.
The pool. Yeah, no, not going to happen.
Is
Thanks,
next
guys.
On ESPN 1000.